Pray before we start. Father God, I thank you that this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I pray that this morning will be full of joy, full of fun. And I just pray that you'll do exceedingly, abundantly, immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine through your word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Was anyone here 2 weeks ago when Stephen Moses did the preach? Woo! Yeah. How amazingly anointed and awesome is he? Does anyone also notice how disgustingly mortified I looked when I was sat on the little drum box and suddenly he came up to play the piano? Did anyone notice that? Oh, well, unbeknownst to you, what was actually happening was this. I was sat on the little drum box for the first time and I happened to notice in the congregation another drummer who I hadn't seen in a long, long time. And I said to the drummer, I mouthed them, oh, you should be here, not me. Unfortunately, also in my eyes line was Stephen Moses. So then he thought that he had to come up and start playing the piano. So ordinarily, I wouldn't mind that at all. I'd be like, oh yeah, go for it. But the whole reason I had moved from the piano to the drum box is because, unbeknownst to you again, the piano had a little button on it, which meant that it was transposed, which also meant that whatever the singers were singing, it was never going to work with what the keyboard was doing. So I just thought, oh, I'll jump ship and go to the drum box. But then that also meant that poor Stephen Moses was doomed to failure because it was never going to work from the start. So poor old man, he got called up when he wasn't meant to, and I just felt like the whole floor just wanted to swallow me up. It was awful. But anyway, that aside, that was 2 weeks ago. So if you don't know me, that's hopefully gives you a little bit of insight into me and my life and the type of person that I am. I think most of you do know me, but if you don't, I'm married to Stephen. I've got two little girls, Anna, who's 3.5, and Lydia, who's 1.5. And yeah, I'm a full-time mum and part-time English teacher, teaching 7 to 13-year-olds. And the focus of today is, like I said, the fruits of the Spirit. In Galatians 5:22-23 tells us the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So we're going to focus today on kindness, of all those different fruits of the Spirit. And it's interesting as well that actually that sort of that fruit of the Spirit, kindness, is actually an attribute of God Himself, because we know that God is love. And in 1 Corinthians 13, it tells us that love is patient, love is kind. Okay, so kindness, it's something that we should be doing, but it's also something that we should be trying to sort of reflect God through what we do as well. Stephen's giving me a funny look. So I'm thinking, have I said the wrong thing? Okay. And what I want to do today is focus on kindness by looking at a passage from Matthew, verse 19, chapters 13 to 15. So if you've got your Bible, turn with me. We'll read that together. It's called Jesus Blesses the Children. Okay. The what? Oh, the Bible verse. Matthew 19, 13 to 15. It's only a short passage. One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could lay his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. But Jesus said, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children." And he placed his hands on their heads and blessed them before he left. Now, you might think it's a bit of an unusual passage for a choice for discussing kindness. That's because when lots of people read this passage, they think about how we should come to God like children. And yeah, that's totally fine. You can do a whole new sermon on that. But what we often forget to look at is how Jesus actually interacted and responded with the people in that particular story. So I always think the best way to know what kindness looks like is to look how Jesus did it himself. So we're going to focus on two things today. Firstly, we're going to focus on what is kindness, and we'll look at that passage to help us. And then secondly, we'll think about what is the difference actually between worldly kindness and kingdom effective kindness, because there is actually a massive difference and we want to be the second one, not the first one. So like I said, the best way to think about how we can actually be kind is to look at Jesus. And it's interesting in this passage because there's two different sets of people, isn't there? There's the disciples who have one reaction, and then there's Jesus who has a different reaction. So let's look at the disciples first. This is what kindness isn't. Okay. What kindness is not, but unfortunately what we all tend to do because we're just human and can't help ourselves. So, firstly, some parents brought their children to Jesus, blah, 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 blah. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering them. They scolded the parents for bothering Jesus. So, firstly, like, the disciples thought, oh, we're too superior for this. You know, like, Jesus is far too good for this. Like, why should we bother having, like, little children come to us? And they scolded. They actually scolded the children and the parents that came. That's quite a harsh word, that, scolded. It's almost like they're reprimanding them, telling them off. And to me, that doesn't seem kind. In fact, that actually alienates the people that come towards them. You know, it's almost like it's pushing them away. And so by being superior, by scolding the little children, the parents that came with them, they showed very little compassion, actually. And they created a distance between themselves and the people that were coming to them. They pushed them away, effectively. So that's what we don't want to do when we're trying to be kind. Obviously, we're all human, and it's very easy to sort of get into the situation, or, well, you know, I haven't got time for them, or it's too much effort. So that's what kindness isn't. But what did Jesus do? Well, he did a number of things. Firstly, if we think about it, he was actually very, very busy. The passage before and the passage afterwards, he's in full flow, you know, doing all his like little sermons, etc. He's probably had a really busy day and in the middle of like doing another little speech or whatever. But he stops. He stops what he's doing and welcomes them in. So that's the first thing, really. If you want to be kind to someone, you have to be willing to stop what you're doing and put it aside and have time for someone else. He was really welcoming as well, wasn't he? He said, let the children come to me, don't stop them. So by welcoming them in, he was drawing them into him. He was being really kind, and immediately that sort of creates a closer relationship between him and the people that are coming to him. He drew them in, created a closer relationship. And interestingly, this final bit says, and he placed his hands on their head and blessed them before he left. That's really interesting. So it's a very physical thing that he's doing in terms of being kind. And when we're kind to people, it, you know, it's often a very physical act. But he also then blessed them. So in actual fact, by physically being kind to them, something was happening spiritually as well. He was spiritually blessing them. And that's sort of like a lot of what I want to focus on today, that idea of like doing something physical that actually creates a spiritual blessing for people as well. So Jesus reached out to them. He created a closer relationship by doing all that. And interestingly, he was countercultural. He didn't just stop and say, oh, I haven't got time for you. And a lot of people at the time complained to Jesus. They said, oh, I think that's the opticians. They call me every Sunday morning. I have been doing for the past 4 weeks. Probably to remind me that I have an optician's appointment tomorrow. Anyway, that aside, he was countercultural. He didn't say, lots of people said to Jesus, what are you doing spending time with sinners? What are you doing spending time with like little children? What are you doing spending time with tax collectors? But Jesus was like, he didn't care about that. He just said, no, I'm going to spend time with these people. I'm going to be kind to them. So he was countercultural as well in what he did. So thinking about all those things that Jesus did in terms of his like being kind to people, that's what we should aim to do. That's what we should strive to sort of be doing. So yeah, that's the first point. What is kindness? The best way to think about what kindness is to look at Jesus. But the main crux of what I want to discuss today is, okay, so we know what kindness is. We can see Jesus clearly does it. Sometimes we don't because we're only human. In fact, Jesus does it all the time. But what does it mean to be kingdom effective in our kindness? So what is it that differentiates your next door neighbour who's incredibly kind? They, I don't know, put your bin out for you every week religiously. And it's a kind thing to do. Or they give money to charity, which is a kind thing to do. Oh, looks kind to me. What differentiates them, who aren't Christians, who display a world of kindness, to us, who should be displaying kingdom effective kindness? There's three main things, actually, that's actually quite interesting in terms of what worldly kindness is and what kingdom effective kindness is. So the first one is, generally, worldly kindness is just nice. It's a nice thing to do. Whereas I would argue that kingdom effective kindness actually packs a punch. And the reason for that is we've got the Holy Spirit inside of us. Tells in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 that we have not been given a spirit of timidity or of fear, but that of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So if, for example, you are doing something kind for someone, we've actually got the Holy Spirit in us, and that makes a massive difference. Because it might be that, you're putting your own bin out, and then suddenly God speaks to you because you've got the Holy Spirit inside of you, so you can hear it and discern it. And then suddenly God tells you, you need to go out and buy some flowers and give them to your next door neighbour. Eh? It seems really weird, doesn't it? And you think, why would I want to do that? Like, won't I just go next door and like just look really weird giving them some flowers? I hardly know them. But you know, if you've got the Holy Spirit inside of you and God's told you to do it, then he's obviously got a really good plan, and he's got a plan that's going to somehow bless that person or bless that neighbour. We don't know how, but I'm almost certain it will. And it tells us in that passage in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, we have not been given a spirit of timidity or fear. So we shouldn't be fearful when we need to do something kind, or when God tells us to do something. And we shouldn't do it with timidity either. So what happens? You go next door, you knock on the door, you give them these flowers. Do you just like give them the flowers and run away? You know, we don't want to be timid in what we do either. So what you really need to do is listen to the Holy Spirit and use your wisdom and use your discernment. So it might be that God just wants you to give them the flowers and say, you know, here you are, hope you have a blessed day. But it might be, if you listen to God and use wisdom, it might be that he wants you to say something like, oh, well, you know, I'm a Christian and I really think that God loves you and Jesus loves you and I want to bless you with this. But again, it's getting that balance between listening to God and doing what he tells you to do, but also having the wisdom to know when it's right to do something and when it's right to say something or not say something. And I think if we have got that Holy Spirit inside us and that power that packs a punch, then when we do that act of kindness, people will be drawn to that anyway because we've got the Holy Spirit inside us. Very much like that passage when Jesus and blessed the children, people were drawn to him and he drew them in for what he did. So that's the first thing. Worldly kindness is nice, whereas kingdom effective kindness packs a punch. Interestingly, the second thing I want to discuss is that actually worldly kindness, if we're not careful, can actually be dangerous. Because worldly kindness, if we're not careful, could be people-pleasing, whereas kingdom-effective kindness, rather than pleases people, blesses people. And being an English teacher, I love the nuances of words, and actually, when you think about it, to please someone is very, very different to bless someone. I looked it up in the dictionary, because I like dictionaries. And to bless someone is to pronounce words which invoke divine favour upon them, or to ask God to look favourably upon them. So if you think about it, if you're pleasing someone, then it could almost be almost for yourself and almost like a self-serving thing, and your identity is almost sort of caught up in it because you think, oh, I'm going to do this to please this person, or I'll do that because it'll be helpful to them, and it's good to be helpful, it's good to be nice. But think about it. Are you doing it because God wants you to do it? Are you doing it because you look good? Are you doing it because, well, that's just what nice people should do, and so I should do that? You have to be very, very careful with that, because it could be that if you keep doing things to please people, you become the people pleaser, and then before you know it, you start becoming someone that pleases other people rather than pleasing God. And do you know what? Satan quite likes it when you're in that place, because Colossians 3 verse 3 tells us very clearly that our identity is hidden in Christ. We can't get away from that. When we're Christians, when God looks at us, he sees Jesus. But if we aim to please people and then start going down that track of pleasing people, then we begin to lose sight of who we are in Jesus. We start to do things that probably or might not necessarily be good for us or good for the other people. The best example I have of that, actually, it was quite a few years ago when I was, I just left university, and my life plan was, I'm going to go to university, I'll go to the Christian Union, I'll be a good little Christian, I'll find the perfect man, and we'll get married at the end of year three, and I'll live happily ever after. I left university, and I hadn't found the perfect Christian man, and I wasn't married, and my whole life was just like, oh no, I'm gutted, because my whole life plan had just ruined, basically. So I decided to try doing things my own way rather than God's way, and I decided to sort of settle for second best, really, and... there's another part to the story. And before Stephen, I decided to be in a relationship with someone who wasn't a Christian. And at the time, really, looking back, my identity was totally caught up in it, because I tricked myself into thinking, oh, I'm going to be this amazing Christian. I'll be so kind to him. He'll see Jesus and he'll just want to like get married to me, and he'll become a Christian too. And it was like this amazing little fairy story. In reality, all that happened was I just ended up sort of, my identity was becoming so wrapped up in pleasing people and being kind to him that I ended up compromising a lot of my Christian principles and really going down the track of getting further and further away from God without even realising it. You have to be very careful of that. Very careful. Because Satan wants you on that track. Because without realising it, you get further and further away from him. It struck me, actually. We were walking along the road and this boyfriend that I'd had at the time said to me, oh, what's your worst attribute? I was thinking, no, what kind of person? That's like, what's your worst thing? Normally they'd ask what's your best thing. And I thought about it and I was like, well, I think the worst thing about me is I just want everyone to be happy. And he stopped and was like, all right, that's not a bad thing. But in my head, alarm bells are ringing. I was thinking, oh no, where's Jesus in all this? So, you know, that's sort of the worldly way of being kind. Interestingly, rather than aiming to please other people, godly kindness actually blesses people. If we look in back to that story where Jesus blesses the children, it says, and he placed his hands on their head and blessed them before he left. So actually, when you do something that's kind to someone, and it's the kingdom effective way, it blesses them. That means you're invoking God's favour upon them. You're proclaiming God's favour on their life. So actually, when you physically reach out to someone and do that kind act or that kind thing that God has told you to do, then without even realising it, you're actually drawing those people into his presence because you're proclaiming that blessing over them. So it's really interesting that when we're trying to be kind, we should aim to be blessing the people, just like Jesus blessed people, and whether that be through an action or through words, or actually just saying, you know, bless you. It's so, so important that we don't lose track and go down losing our identity into that horrible wayward spiral. And the third thing I want to say about worldly kindness versus kingdom effective kindness is that actually worldly kindness can be quite destructive, whereas kingdom effective kindness draws people into the kingdom. I say kindness can be destructive because if you think about the world, some people do things, it looks kind, but actually they're being quite self-serving and it almost just feeds their own pride. They do things and then they do these things and say, oh, look at me, look how great I've been, I've done this amazing thing. And we don't want to be in that place either, really. We want to be in a place where we're drawing people into the kingdom through our kindness. I remember there's a lady at work who was aiming for like a promotion, and there'd been an incident in school, and she'd gone and sorted it all out, and then she'd sent this email, said blah 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 blah, I've sorted this all out, and she'd copied into the email like all the different senior leaders in the school, and the interview for her new job was going to be the next day. I thought, oh yeah, you didn't do that to be kind, you did that just to, you know, serve yourself, make yourself look good. So we don't want to be those people, basically. We don't want to be being kind to others just to make ourselves look good, because that's not a good place to be either. I think the best example I could find of of what truly kingdom effective kindness looks like was actually written in a book by Lindsay Bruce. I don't know if you know her. She's currently a leader at NCLC in Newcastle, which is part of the Hillsong Church. And it's a really good book, actually. You should read it. And in this part of a book, she basically describes how God had called her to go to Africa to minister the Shine Course to vulnerable women, which I think effectively is our version of Route 61. So she was going all the way to Africa to do Route 61 to, or Route 61 equivalent to vulnerable women. And at the time in the book, she'd said, "Oh well, it was a massive sacrifice in terms of time because she was going to be away from her children, as well as a financial sacrifice as well." And she just talks about lots of little baby steps, basically, to how God made it possible for her to go there. It wasn't some massive, God like struck her down, was like, "You can go there, here's all the money and here's all the time, off you go." It was just lots and lots of little steps over about 18 months until she got to a point where she was able to go to Africa and minister to these people. But it actually transpired that didn't have the most impact on her, the sort of ministering the Shine Course to these vulnerable women. What actually had the most impact to her was when she went into a school and helped with the young children there. I did debate whether I should just try and rephrase the story for you, but Lindsay Bruce, she's an ex-journalist, so she's a really excellent communicator, so I thought it'd probably be better if I just read this section out to you, because I think she describes it much better and in a much more real way than I would. So she's in Africa at the moment, and this is a really good example of kingdom effective kindness. All those things I've said together, working as one. One day while I was catching my breath, I began chatting to one of the young female social workers based at the school. We talked about life in Kyberia and how she often didn't feel safe. I mentioned to her that I'd heard that one of the girls at the school had been violated. Classes in the school were organised by educational ability, and because children get access to education only when their families can afford it, there could be 6-year-olds and 16-year-olds in the same class. I assumed that it was one of the older girls who'd been the victim of the violent crime. It was a naive assumption. My friend knew the girl and pointed her out to me. Yes, it was terrible. There she is over there. She was pointing to the playground where the baby class were playing. Sure enough, it was a 5-year-old girl who had been the victim of repeated abuse. I couldn't believe it. The rest of my afternoon was devoted to that little girl. I asked permission to spend time with her, and we chatted and sang, and she sat on my knee so I could hug her as long as she would let me. Excuse the crassness of my language when I talk about this. I don't have the vocabulary to describe how this little girl had been impacted by what she'd been through. But she wet herself as she sat on my knee. Her teacher later told me that the level of trauma she had suffered was such that she could no longer tell the difference between good and bad attention. When people showed her love, her little body didn't know how to respond. I was broken. That night, back at our base, I just wept. Then I got angry. God, how dare you bring me here, show me this little girl, and give me no tangible way to help her? I was furious. She was 5 years old, had been repeatedly sold by her mother to a man in a slum, and was now in a secure unit with foster parents, and was physically, mentally, and emotionally, and no doubt spiritually devastated. All I could offer her was a couple of games and some well-meaning hugs. My anger turned to indignation. God, why don't you step in? After that, all I could do was keep thinking of this beautiful little girl. Earlier in the day, as I hugged her, I sang to her and kept whispering to her how much Jesus loved her. I prayed over her and told her God had good plans for her. As I rubbed her short, cropped hair and stroked her cheek, she managed to grin back to me and squeezed me tighter. She knew a little bit of English, as lots of children did, so she understood. Knowing that I was struggling with all this, our team leader spoke to me. Sometimes life is just rubbish, Lindsay. But not today. Just when that little girl was probably wondering if everything she had heard about Jesus was true, when she was crying out for someone to make her feel safe, he sends you halfway around the world to pick her up and whisper to her and prove to her, like the songs she'd been dancing to, like the song she'd been dancing to says, that she is not forgotten, and he chose you to do it. I sobbed. Imagine that. God sent her all the way across the world to like show kindness to that little girl. And she'd used her wisdom and the Holy Spirit power within her to physically reach out to that little girl and bless her. And she loved her as well and told her that Jesus loved her. That was just one act of kindness. I'm not saying that it has to be as extreme as going across the other side of the world. But imagine the impact we would have if everyone in this room left today listening to God and thinking, okay, what can I do to be kingdom effective in my kindness? What can I do to go out there, draw people closer to Jesus, closer to his kingdom, and bless them? It'd just be awesome, wouldn't it? Imagine the impact we would have. It'd be huge. So, they're the three main things, really. What is kindness? We look to Jesus. He's our best example of kindness. And worldly kindness is nice, whereas kingdom effective kindness packs a punch. Worldly kindness can be dangerous because it pleases people, whereas kingdom effective kindness blesses others, which draws them closer to God. Worldly kindness can be quite destructive and self-serving, but kingdom effective kindness draws other people into the kingdom. You might be wondering why I've got some stones over there and some water. So this is the last part of today, really. There's a few things in that sermon that I think God's speaking to people about. Firstly, like in terms of kindness, it's so easy to be that disciple, isn't it? And just not be kind to someone because we haven't got time or we think we're better than them, or it just doesn't suit us in that particular moment of that particular day. So we've got an opportunity to repent of that or to say sorry for doing that. I've got some stones over there. That's one of the things. So if you feel that's you and you would like to respond, then pick up a stone, think about it, and then just drop it into the water. Because you know what, that sort of feeling guilty for not being kind or feeling guilty for not doing the right thing, it's a weight that you don't need to carry. You know, Jesus carried that weight at the cross. So you can just let go of that. Also, as well, if you're someone that has your identity in the wrong place as well, it's so easy to do. It's so easy to forget that our identity is hidden in Christ. But again, if you're that person, then you got the opportunity to go there and pick up a stone and drop it in the water and just let go. Just know that you're totally covered by the blood of Jesus instead. He is your identity, not how kind you are or how much you please other people. And also, obviously, there's lots of positive things that have come out of this sermon, isn't there? So we know that the Holy Spirit is inside us to help us pack a punch. You know, if you want more of the Holy Spirit to help you be kingdom effective in your kindness, then we'll be around and we'll pray for you if you want prayer. Or if you want the wisdom as well to be able to discern, you know, should I say something or should I just do something physically as well? So prayer for wisdom as well. If you'd like that, then you can send over there. Yeah, they were the main things.